Podium Audio presents Loving Demons, Book 3 of Fae Revealed, written by Katie May and Quinn Arthurs, performed by Jill Redfield and Aaron Shedlock.
Chapter 1. Seraphina. Murder, I can deal with. Birthday parties? That's cruel and unusual torture. Especially a fae birthday party. When I'd been invited to Tristan's party, I was thrilled. It was a lovely distraction from the last month of classes, training, and learning soup history and culture. It always feels like there's so much more for me to learn, so much more that I'm lost on. Learning about an entire culture while dealing with corpses in your bed is a fairly daunting task. It was only after I'd had time to consider it that I began to worry. Are soup birthday parties the same as human ones? Even if they are, I've only ever been to family parties, and I doubt our tradition of offering up a new weapon for training and beating the living daylights out of each other would be a fun pastime for any of my new friends. Well, except for maybe V, if he's what qualifies as a friend. Sexy eye candy that I fight the urge to murder on a regular basis is probably a more apt description. I shift the brightly wrapped present I'm carrying to my left hand, reaching down to tug the hem of my cranberry dress straight and line up the tops of my white thigh-high socks. I blow out a breath as I study the house in front of me. I'm still not used to how the leaves here change with the seasons. But the few shades of orange and yellow I see glint on the trees, standing out in contrast to the white bricks and curving columns of the manor house. The red door is nearly blinding in the late afternoon sunset, a bloody welcome into the unknown. The door cracks open, and Tristan offers me a shy grin, his hair flopping down into his eyes. His golden retriever energy has been subdued since the truth about his cousin was revealed. Kyan's pain tore something in Tristan, something he has yet to completely fix. Happy birthday, I offer with a smile of my own, holding out the carefully wrapped present to him. The anger I felt at his treatment of Kyan has dimmed over the past several weeks. Tristan had been a child himself when everything began, and I've watched him work hard to apologize to Kyan over and over again. All of the guys have been working to mend those bridges, and it's been nice to see the hesitant bond that seems to be reforming between them. I really hope it can last. Besides, we all have more important things to deal with at the moment. Like a dead serial killer ending up in my bed with absolutely no leads to tell us who killed him and why they placed him in my bedroom to begin with. But a problem for another time.
Thanks for coming, Tristan says, taking the present from my hands and ushering me inside.
It looks so normal, I realize, glancing around the room. Streamers and balloons are spread throughout the wide living room done in shades of white and blue. Spirals of ribbon hang from thick, heavy-looking beams that are spread across the ceiling. A shiny metallic banner spells out the words, "Happy birthday, Tristan," and drapes across the unlit fireplace. Low tables are covered in blue tablecloths and stacked with white bowls loaded with chips and other snacks. I'm not sure if I should be disappointed or relieved. For all I know, there could be an orgy or a sacrifice necessary this evening. From what I've learned in my lessons with Avril, neither of those would technically be out of the running. I probably could have asked Avril at our last meeting, but it seemed awkward to ask about a party she wasn't invited to, though I'm kicking myself slightly for the propriety at the moment. I really wore the wrong underwear, if we're all stripping down. I force the thought away as a chuckle draws my attention, and I turn a stare to where Xander leans casually against the wall, a small smirk tugging up the corner of his lips as he swirls a dark liquid in a tall glass. I glare at him, refusing to let my eyes stray over his body and inspect the way his elegantly cut three-piece suit offers me a glimpse